thank you for this day you've given us. We can't thank you enough for what you do for us on a daily basis, even on an hourly basis. Lord, we do thank you for this good church and this good sanctuary to come in and just get the worldly things off our mind and off our heart, Lord. And just open our hearts up to you and just learn more about you and praise and worship you, Lord. We thank you for that. But Lord, we just want to thank you for the folks that are going to be here today. And if someone comes in that is lost, Lord, we pray that they will accept you as their Savior today. Lord, we thank you for it. We pray you love you so much. Just pray that you'll be with us throughout this day and be with the preacher today. In Jesus' name, we
pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, man. All right. You know where we are, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, as you're turning there, verse 1 says, Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We finished verse 1 last week, so we'll pick up with verse 2. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. We're told as believers to beware of a number of things. We'll take a look at those. Beware of false prophets. Look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Matthew 7 and verse 15. And here we have a warning against false teachers. Verse 15 says, Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. So, people tell you, well, you don't judge, you're not to judge people. You're wrong, we are to judge. We are to judge every day. Our judgment when we're on the road, do we stop for that stop sign or do we go through it? Do we stop for that red light or do we go through it? So we make judgments every day. What we are not to judge is, I know he's lost. I know she's saved. I know. You don't know. You don't know the heart condition of that person. They may live a life that gives an indication that they're lost, but you don't know if they've ever been born again. They may have been born again when they were younger and never grew in the Lord, never got into the Word, never was trained. So we don't know. We don't make judgments on their salvation, but we do make judgments on what they're teaching, what they're preaching to us. So we've got to be careful of false prophets. And you reference that with 1 John 4:1. It says, Believe not, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So how do you judge someone who's preaching or teaching to you? It's by the Word of God. Exactly. And that's how we tell whether they're a false prophet or they're telling us the truth, preaching us what the Bible says in its context, in its right dispensation. And that's why we're to study the Word, so that we know if we're being lied to or if we're being trying to be deceived. And then in Matthew 10, if you're still there, in the book of Matthew. Matthew 10, in verse 17, says, Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in the synagogues. Now, the context there is to the Jews, And it took place already. Historically, it took place. It'll take place again in the tribulation period. But we can learn from that. We can learn. They'll deliver you up to the councils. You look what's going on today in this world. Look how the laws are coming down on the Christian people. They've got laws on the books now that if they wanted to enforce them, we're not to preach against homosexuality, any type of perversion, against cross-dressing. They've got laws on the books here in this country that we could be arrested now, but the time's not right. They haven't had that frog in that water and heated it up long enough yet. But it's coming. It's coming. If I were to make a statement that to call a pervert or a homosexual, or to call them a queer or a faggot, and when you and I were growing up, most of us, that was a common term. But today it's offensive to people, and you're being discriminatory. You're discriminating. But did you ever stop to think, what are they doing to this world? You know, the sodomites? You can't even call them sodomites without being harassed and threatened. But Matthew 13:9 says, "Take heed unto yourselves, that they, for they will deliver you up to the councils and the synagogues, and ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings, for my sake, for a testimony against them." And Mark 13:12 says, "Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death." Is that going on today? People rising up, family members rising up against believers in their family? Yes, it is. You know, when you've tried to witness to your loved ones that reject the truths that you hold to, the Word of God, they become, they'll either be nice about it and try and shut you off, or just come out and, "I don't want to hear it. Don't speak of that. Get out of my house if you're going to talk about the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ." So it's coming. Be prepared for it. Matthew 16:6 says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Beware of the leaven. Now, when you hear that word, what do you think of? You think of baking. And what is leaven? It brings that up. The Bible explains itself. And Mark 8:15. "And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." So, what's he talking about? Bacon here? Turn over to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And look at verse number 1. "In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, First of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." He's telling them that the leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. And then in Matthew 16, turn there, Matthew 16. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Let's find out what that leaven is. And most of you do know, but it doesn't hurt to go over it. Matthew chapter 16, and look at verse 11. How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread? Now he's explaining what leaven is, what he's talking about. That ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So when he's talking about the leaven in Scripture here, he's talking about doctrine. Is someone teaching you false doctrine? Is someone trying to pull you away from the things of the Lord with false doctrine? Again, this is why we emphasize you read and study the Word of God. You get grounded so you're able to tell whether they're trying to feed you false doctrine. What is some of the false doctrine? You get the water dogs, what we call the water dogs, that's the Church of Christ, which says you must be baptized in order to be saved. That water from the public water system is going to wash your sins away. And they'll run you through verses that try and prove that you must be baptized in order to be saved. And you've got Jehovah's Witnesses also, which tend to keep you under the law, along with the Mormons, along with the Roman Church. So you've got to know what the Bible teaches in order to be able to know truth from error. So that's, again, why it's so important to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, as a named group, we don't have Pharisees today in our country to speak of, but we do have those self-righteous people that try and put you under the law. Then look at Colossians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Something else we're to be aware of. Colossians chapter 2, and look at verse number 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So one of the main things there is philosophy and vain deceit. The word philosophy comes from the ancient Greek word, and once in a while I'll do this just to reinforce what the Bible says. The word is philosophia, okay, and which literally means the love of wisdom. And when you study it, I didn't know this till I started running it. Sophia is the god of wisdom. It's a female god of wisdom. So don't name your daughter Sophia. And then you have vain deceit. Vain is an emptiness or having something to do with excessive pride. It's conceit, it's emptiness, and deceit is the art of practicing deceiving somebody or some people. So we've got to be careful with philosophy. And this is where even in big name Christian colleges, they teach philosophy. And you've got to be careful, because when you deviate from the Word of God, you're going to end up in trouble. You're going to end up in false doctrine. So it says, beware of dogs. Let's take a look at that. Let's compare some verses. Turn to Revelation 21 and verse 8. Revelation 21. And verse number 8. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, just a side note here. You're witnessing, and you use that verse, all lawyers, you ask somebody if they've ever lied, they'll have their part in the lake which burneth forever and ever. Now, again, if you know the context, you know, but you can still use it as a witnessing tool. If you're dealing with the lost person and you want to show them that their destination eternally is the lake of fire, you can use this verse. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And then go down to verse number 22:15. So here we have the people that didn't make it into the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, and they didn't make it through the tribulation period. So they're standing before God. And Revelation 22:15 says, and he that talketh with me had a... Wait a minute. No, 21. I want to see if you're paying attention. Okay, for without our dogs. Now, what's context here? What are we talking about? Go up to verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, so we know who is talking. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without our dogs, without is talking not in the city, not in the holy city, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So, we're talking about lost people here. Lost people are known as dogs. And you'll find that as you go through the Gospels, that dogs were the Gentiles. And they're also false prophets or homosexuals who are called dogs in scriptures. And you can check that out in Deuteronomy 23:18 and Isaiah 56:10 and 11, and where we are here, Revelation 22. So dogs are also used figuratively of different classes, as I said, homosexuals, despised people, those with satanic powers, wicked men. You find that in Psalms 22 and Psalms 59. False prophets are also called dogs. You can find that in Isaiah 56. Deceived people, Matthew 7 and Revelation 22, where we are. Fools are also called dogs in Proverbs 26. Of course, Gentiles, as we mentioned, are Matthew 15 and Mark 7. And then when you go to 2 Peter 2:20 and 22, turn over there. We're not that far away. 2 Peter 2. And look at verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now who are we talking about? We're talking about saved people here. Those who are born again. They are again entangled therein and overcome. And overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they should have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. So what's the Bible telling us here? It's telling us that once you get saved, once you're born again, you have eternal life, and you go back to your old ways, go back into the world, the latter end is going to be worse for you than the beginning. Because, now, people take that verse and try and convince you that you can lose your salvation, but you're not going to lose your salvation. You know that. You're part of the body of Christ. You have eternal life. God's not going to lie. So we have eternal life. But he's talking about reaping what you've sown. You go back into the world. Start living your old life again. You're going to reap it. You'll reap it not only yourself, but you'll see it in your family. You always, always have more suffering for you, your family, your loved ones than what you really think you're going to do. How about the people that you've witnessed to over the years? You go back into the world. Just think, if preacher, myself, or someone that's like that, goes back into the world and it spread, you know, you can't help it. It may be end up in the news. How's that going to affect the people that you've witnessed to, that you've won to the Lord? It's going to destroy them, most people, because most Christians today aren't grounded enough where they can survive a trauma like that. And it's unfortunate because we should be able to stand on our own and fight the good fight of faith on our own, because you have the Holy Spirit living within you. And what's the Holy Spirit going to do? Convict us, guide us, lead us into all truth. If we desire that, again, it's a heart's desire. What do we desire from the Lord?
Sisters in Christ, when we see one of our brothers and sisters that ends up in a situation like that, it really breaks your heart.
Yes.
I mean, it's not so much that you're mad at it or anything like that, it's just sad.
Yeah.
It just breaks your heart.
It is. It is sad. And you pray for them, and that's why one of my prayers for myself is, God, give me wisdom, give me knowledge in your word so that I can apply it to my life and be an example and be able to teach and preach as you would have me to do. I want self gone. I know what self can do in my own case. And each of you know what can happen in your case, too.
Another thing about fellowship, not talk to people you know, and they say, well, I don't need to go to church. I can just watch it on TV.
Yeah.
But that's where fellowship comes in. Your brothers and sisters, when you're going through a tough time,
yeah,
that's when you need the fellowship.
Exactly.
If you don't have fellowship, you can easily fall.
There's no one there.
You can easily fall anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have nobody there. You just...
There's no one there to encourage you, to lift you up, to help you. Exactly. And, if, you know, you're going to go out on the lake and fish, and the fish are going to encourage you. Or,
devil's right there.
Yeah.
Every time these thoughts go through your head, well, you know, I don't think that's important. Whatever. He's going to say, you know, you're right.
Yeah.
You don't have to be sure. He's got you right there. It comes down between you and the devil. We know he's going to win that.
You don't mess with the devil. He's a defeated foe, but you are no match for him. I'm no match. He's had 6,000 years of dealing with men. He's had, and before that, he rebelled against God, and. I'm going to mess with him. No, thank you. Lord, I can't handle this. This is your fight.
He knows your weakness.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir.
And we have plenty. And when you start thinking, well, I got that. Yeah, I know that. Boom! Comes a kidney punch. Oh, got that covered. Boom! Comes a left jab. We're no match for the devil. I've heard preachers say, I'll take on the devil. He's a defeated foe. You go ahead. You take him on. I'll watch your demise. And I've seen that too. Preachers that have done that, and I'll fight the devil. I'll stand face to face with him. You idiot. And he ends up out of the ministry. His family's destroyed. Not for me. I know when to back off. Yeah. Yes, he is. And he's had, like I said, 6,000 years of practice. All right, so men are like dogs. Where are we? Matthew 7:6 says, give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample you and trample under their feet. And turn again and rend you. 2 Peter 2:22 says, but it is happened unto them according to the true Proverbs, the dog turned to his own vomit again. How many of you have seen that?
Oh, yeah.
I've seen it. How many of you have let your dog lick your face? Not my Roxy. My Roxy don't do that. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So these verses are talking about men here. Give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast your pearls before the swine. And that's the results of it. Now, talking about dogs, there's different types of dogs. Okay, we know that. Let's take a look at some of them. See if you can put yourself in one of these characters. A collie. Collie is slow, patient, kind, intelligent, gentle, and friendly. You all remember Lassie, I'm sure. Good dog. Then you have Chihuahuas. Chihuahuas, the little Mexican Chihuahuas. I've got a teacup Chihuahua, which is a very sweet dog, not one of those ankle biters. A Chihuahua, you say, supposedly big tough guy like you got a Chihuahua, was given to me as a gift. Chihuahua is snappy, irritable, nervous, wild-eyed, cowardly, and a nuisance. Then you have the English Bulldog. Slow, lazy, stubborn, ugly, and good-natured. Then you have French poodles. I hope nobody in here has a poodle after what I'm going to say. Dainty, fussy, showy, high-strung, nervous, easily upset, weird-looking, and they are good for nothing. Then you have the bull mastiffs. They're small, loud, tough, dependable. Great Danes. They're large, fearful-looking, muscular, slow, and they're not too bright. I can't help but think of some of the guys that I grew up with, you know, big guys, and yeah, you know, they're just not too bright. Then you have German Shepherd, which most of us guys would put ourselves in this class, or hope we would. They're alert. They're strong. They're powerful. They're aggressive, they're quick, and they're brutal. You ever see a German Shepherd attack somebody? They are vicious, but police dogs are like that. Some of the ones they use in the army are like that. And the Bible pictures men as dogs, also pictures men as world athletes, and relates them to the lost. But, you know, a dog is still a dog, no matter how good they are to you. I seen a movie called Hero. If you ever get to watch that, it's a good movie. I won't spoil the end for you, but dog was shipped from, I think, Japan to the U.S. His ticket got lost. Guy found the dog, raised the dog, and the guy died. The dog, for 10 years, did you see it? Went to that same place, waited for the guy to get off the train to come home. It was something else. But it was a good dog. Had good lesson to that. Good lesson in life. How faithful. How faithful. I forget what it was, but it
I hadn't seen it, but
yeah. And it shows you how faithful an animal can be. Now, why can't we as Christians be as faithful to the Lord as that dog was to its master? 10 years. Went to the same place. Finally died. I said I wouldn't ruin it for you, but as what happens with all of us. Yeah. but why can't we as Christians be that faithful to the Lord? And you know, a dog's still a dog, and a lost man is still a lost man, no matter what kind of character that lost man may have. And there, you know, there are some unsaved men that have more character than the saved men do. People, I won't say just men, but people, you know what I mean. You take a look at, in the history, Beethoven, Rommel, the German general, Schweitzer, Yamato, Madame Curie, Enrico Caruso, the opera singer. They had standards and principles that most of today's Christians couldn't even come close to. You know, these, as far as I know, they were all lost people too. You take the people that grew up, come up in the 30s, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, they had more character than most Christians do today. It's a shame, too, because there's more information out there today than they had back then. But it was a heart's desire. They were taught and trained different than they are today. Exactly.
And they're probably the sweetest people.
Yep.
The sweetest, good-natured people. And they're lost.
Yeah.
Sarah has talked to them, but they're just...
Yeah. It's too bad, too. Yeah. And that generation, especially the World War II generation, there was a lot more character there than there is today. Well, you look at it. Most of us are old enough to look back to the 60s when the rebellion really started in Vietnam. Came about, and then it really went downhill when drugs became an accepted thing in society, and it's a rebellion against authority, all authority, starting in the home, and that's where the problem is. There's no respect in the home. Look at how many single parents there are today. Right, and it takes a toll. And it shows it in society. So each one of us, probably you have worked with or we know some unsaved person that has more character than most saved people do today. And it's too bad. And we'll finish up there, and next week we'll get into evil workers. Evil workers, what's that all about? And we'll look at that next week. And then we'll move on from there. All right, Floyd, how about praying for us?
Father, we thank you so much for being in your house again this morning, Lord. And Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that you will touch the hearts of your people. We pray for that one that might be lost this morning, dear Lord, that you will convict our hearts and soul, Father, their need. Father, I just pray you give us a good day today, dear Lord. Help us to truly worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Bless the preaching, bless the singing, all this done. And Father, that we just bring glory to your name. In your name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all. Appreciate it.
What day is that?